Okay, I think we'll get started. Thank you for being here this morning. I forget what day it is now. Are you all kind of in that? Yeah, so I'm Kay Bender. I'm President and CEO of the Public Health Accreditation Board, and we'd like to welcome you to this session. We're going to talk about public health department accreditation, answering the so what question. So I hope that's why you are here. In accordance with APHA's guidelines, I will tell you that none of our speakers who I'm about to introduce have any financial disclosures to make for this presentation. We all wish we had financial disclosures to make, but we don't. During this session, we're going to talk about the relationship between FAB's accreditation program and other national accreditation readiness, performance management, and quality improvement initiatives. It has taken a village to raise this child called accreditation. And so when we answer or begin to think about answering the so what question, we have to think about so what for some of those other initiatives and not just accreditation through FAB. We'll talk about FAB's approach to our internal and external evaluation of accreditation as we lay the groundwork for our part of the so what, and then discuss some early findings from our evaluation initiatives. This audience will be the first audience to actually see some of that information, so hold on to your seats for that. The panel we have today really doesn't need an introduction, so I'm going to keep it short, because I think probably everybody in the room knows or knows of these folks. I put their pictures up here so you would know these are not imposters. And if they don't look like their pictures, it's because their pictures were taken years ago. So our first speaker is going to be Liza Corso. Most of you, how many in the room know Liza? Yeah, that's what I thought. So Liza works at CDC in the Office of State, Tribal, Local, and Territory Support, OSTILS. Liza has been working with, about, and for accreditation in one way or another since we started saying the word accreditation. She is our project officer for FAB, but certainly a champion, a supporter, and a real knowledgeable person about accreditation. She's going to be talking about NIFI, that particular initiative, because that was accreditation support, still is accreditation support, and many other of the CDC initiatives aimed at helping health departments to get ready for accreditation. Then we'll hear from FAB's other key partner, Pamela Russo. How many of you know Pamela? Yeah, from the Robert Johnson Foundation, a public health team there. Pamela also has been supporting and informing accreditation since we started saying the word. In fact, it was Robert Johnson and CDC, some of you might remember, who funded the original study exploring accreditation and got this whole thing off the ground and started. So Pamela will be talking about the initiatives that Robert Wood Johnson has put in place to support accreditation and how they're looking at the so what associated with those. Jessica Kronstadt from FAB, she's our Director of Research and Evaluation. How many of you know Jessica? She used to masquerade over at NORC, and then we stole her, and I'm not ashamed about that at all. Jessica's doing a great job with us. Jessica will be talking about our internal and external evaluation with some of the new data. And last but not least, Liz Spych, who has a real job that we forget about sometimes at Florida State University. He's department chair there in the School of Medicine, but he tries to get public health in there any chance he gets. Now, right, Liz? Okay. Liz is the board chair for FAB right now. How many of you know Liz? So, yeah, good. Okay. He's the chair of our FAB board right now, and Liz is going to be talking about the whole intention of accreditation was to improve health department performance, right? And so he's going to be making that link between performance management and quality improvement. I want to take this opportunity with this group in here to personally and on behalf of the rest of the FAB Board of Directors congratulate Les, because tonight he receives the Health Administration Award given by the Health Administration Section of APHA. We're real proud of Les for that. So. Well deserved. We give him some more work to do, and then he can get another award at some point. So as I said, it has taken a village, really, to get accreditation going, to get the concepts out there, to help those of you who work in the health departments feel a little bit more comfortable about it, to get the concepts associated with assessing organizational capacity out there. And that has been accomplished, as I mentioned earlier, through the NIFI grants and many other CDC initiatives, even going back to the days of the National Public Health Performance Standards and when they first started. And then Robert Wood Johnson has nicely come along and supported many initiatives. And it's taken all of that to get the public health field ready for and successful in public health department accreditation. There is a master plan connecting all these dots, although I would imagine some of you sometimes feel like the guy with the cord around him. I do too sometimes, trying to keep all this straight. Part of our So What Today will be aimed at trying to answer for you how all of those come together. So as of the first of this month, FAB has 306 health departments in our system. 54 health departments are accredited in a couple of weeks, we'll announce some more. The accreditation committee meets the second week in December, and so there's some other health departments, maybe some of you in the room, are anxiously awaiting those decisions. 201 of those are locals, 29 are states, 2 tribes, and then that centralized states integrated system, one of our approaches to accreditation is if a centralized state operates all of its locals, health departments, once that state health department is accredited, one of the models they can choose is for all of their locals to go through accreditation at the same time under one application. And so that's what that category is. And then the multi-jurisdictional was designed to help really smaller health departments that work together anyway, who have a lot of interdependence anyway in getting public health done every day, they can go through accreditation together. That 7 health department number under multi-jurisdictional represents 2 applications, one with 3 health departments and one with 4. And we're real pleased to look at, if you look at the box at the bottom, Robert Wood Johnson helped us to establish a goal of 60% of the U.S. population covered by accredited health departments by 2015, and 2015 is looming, but we're getting close. So we've got almost 208 million people covered by these health departments in EFAB, and that's unduplicated. And then about 71 million covered by the 54 health departments that are already accredited. So we're making great progress thanks to the work of all of our partners and the initiatives that you'll hear about today and the work of you. There's several of our site visitors in the room, committee members, and that sort of thing. So it takes all of us to do this work. So at this point, I'll turn the podium over to Liza, and she'll talk about CDC's role in advancing accreditation.
Thank you, Kay. So we had a lot of show of hands around who knows us, but I'm wondering how many people would say they're pretty familiar with or involved in accreditation in different ways? Okay. That's good. That's a lot of hands, which is wonderful, because we designed this session to be less about this is what accreditation is and going through the 101 basics, and more to get at and focus on, as we say, the so what question. What are we learning? How are we actually moving the needle? What kind of data do we have to share with you? So I think that that will hopefully be of great interest to those of you who have especially been engaged in this for years and have been hearing those same 101 kind of presentations over and over again. So as Kay was introducing us, she was talking a little bit about the role that we've been playing, and CDC has been a partner right from the start. We certainly have been a partner and funder in FAB itself, but we know that it's going to take a lot more than just supporting the accrediting body and the accreditation program itself to make this successful. So we've done a lot to also support the national partner organizations. Many of you are probably members of these, such as ASTO and NACHO, which represent state and local health departments, the National Indian Health Board, APHA, hopefully you all know what that acronym stands for, the Public Health Foundation, the National Network of Public Health Institutes. And they play a big role, I think, in providing technical assistance, resources, and training. Through those organizations, we've supported some accreditation support initiatives that I'll talk a little bit about. But then the National Public Health Improvement Initiative, which has been, I think, a big shot in the arm in terms of the accreditation readiness it's been able to advance through that. And I'll briefly talk a little bit about the incentives and how we're trying to connect this to all the investments that we make across categorical areas throughout CDC. So quickly, around what are we talking about when we say National Public Health Improvement Initiative? And of course, we have to create acronyms for everything, so we do call this NIFI. How many of you are familiar with the NIFI program? Okay, that's a lot. That's good. I'm trying to put this down. Okay, thank you. So we began this in FY 2010. Of course, it was Affordable Care Act funding, and it was an opportunity to actually build a cooperative agreement really around public health infrastructure. And the opportunity for the timing was, of course, wonderful because we were putting this out around the same time that accreditation was in its final stages before the launch. So we were able to, in the first year, and then especially in subsequent years, build the guidance and the objectives around expectations to accelerate public health accreditation readiness. So defining, building that infrastructure around using the national consensus standards and filling gaps as defined by those standards. And of course, advancing quality improvement and performance management. And so that was really what we were trying to do through NIFI. Wherever those different grantees were as a starting point, trying to move the needle. Another expectation for this was that grantees needed to hire or designate someone that we referred to as a performance improvement manager. And that was someone who would be sitting ideally at an executive or senior level in the organization and play a cross-cutting role in advancing accreditation readiness or meeting the standards or, of course, quality improvement and performance management. And some states and local jurisdictions had those prior to NIFI. Obviously, advancing that in all of those grantees built that capacity in new ways. NIFI was intended to be a five-year cooperative agreement. Unfortunately, due to changes at the congressional level, that ended a year early. So we have put out the final year of the fourth year of funding, although the vast majority of the grantees are actually in a no-cost extension. So that NIFI work continues and will continue through next year. Next September is when we would finish that year of a no-cost extension. So that NIFI work continues, and of course we're looking for ways to sustain that. But let me tell you what we've been able to accomplish with NIFI. First of all, these are the awardees. This may be a map you've seen before. If you go to the CDC website, this is actually a clickable map, this would be the website to go to at the bottom here. But it's a clickable map where if you put your cursor over any one grantee, you see a little bit of what they're trying to do, the funding levels, and then key contacts for those organizations, the performance improvement manager or the principal investigator. So I mentioned that one of the objectives was all about advancing accreditation readiness, and we define that as grantees were asked to do a self-assessment against the FAB standards so that we could get a sense of where are the biggest gaps, and then of course encouraging grantees to be using the NIFI funding to fill those gaps. And also there was of course a special call out around the FAB prerequisites, the standards that are defined as needing to be done before you even submit that application, and having that in place and submitting it along with the application. And those, of course, are a community health assessment, or state or community health assessment, state or community health improvement plan, and an agency strategic plan. So through NIFI, we've been able to see that certainly a lot of progress has been made, in that now at this point, 81% of NIFI awardees have completed one or more of the prerequisites. 48% of those have actually completed all three prerequisites. For time purposes, I don't show the breakdown, but I will tell you that when you look at this by state, tribal, local, and territorial, needless to say, the numbers are especially strong at the state and local level. We are, in a different starting place supporting where we are in supporting some of those tribes and territorial grantees, but certainly the needle has really moved in those places as well. I'm just sort of flying through these because I know we have time constraints, but we can come back to this, hopefully, for a dialogue at the end if we need to. I also mentioned that NIFI grantees were expected to do a self-assessment against the FAB standards, and so that was, of course, taking the FAB standards, and a self-assessment tool was developed where grantees really figured out, okay, where do we think we've met these standards or not met, and then where are we actually going to take action with our current funding to proceed to fill those gaps. This shows you, I think not surprisingly, that some of the biggest gaps are in the workforce development, performance management, and quality improvement related standards, 8.2, 9.1, and 9.2. We certainly know that a lot of agencies are still working on developing those workforce development plans and performance management systems, and still building up that quality improvement culture and the QI plan that's expected for FAB. There are also some areas where there is a really good capacity already in place, such as in partnership development here in the administrative and management capacity domain. So, but I think this tells you an interesting snapshot of where some of the big gaps are. One of the other areas, very much complementing meeting the standards, but this was called out as an objective in NIFI, was that all NIFI grantees were expected to undertake quality improvement projects and work in quality improvement. Now, we had that expectation, but we realized we need to actually measure what's being gained. And so our evaluation team at CDC did what I think is some excellent work in defining a framework to measure what those outcomes are and how we can define where some of those gains are. And so, of course, as you might expect, the quality improvement projects, for the most part, were falling into areas that addressed improvements in efficiency or improvements in effectiveness. So business services, activities that would relate to improvements in efficiency, time saved, reduced steps in the process, cost saved, et cetera, or effectiveness, those things that related to improvements in particular programmatic areas or increased customer satisfaction or increased preventive behaviors. So the evaluation team actually came up with this framework defining these types of outcomes so that as our grantees were reporting back on the outcomes of their different QI projects, we were able to aggregate that together and understand where some of these gains are and to be able to talk about that in a collective way that it's often hard to talk about when we're discussing quality improvement efforts. And so, for example, as of May 2014, midpoint of our year 4, We found that of the grant awardees that were working on QI projects around efficiencies, the vast majority of those were really looking at and achieving some outcomes that related to time saved or reduced number of steps. And so some of the examples are some of the grantees. I know there's a grantee that did some great work in reducing the time for contracting and putting a procurement system, procurement in place, or time saved in terms of newborn screening was, I think, another one. So initial findings that relate to increased effectiveness. And I realize the font on this is actually quite small, so I apologize for that. But for the vast majority, or not the vast majority, but the highest number of awardees had some findings in terms of quality enhancements in services and programs, or quality enhancements in terms of data systems, so improvements in those data systems. And we also have, of course, some impacts in all the other areas. And by the way, there was an other category. So if there was an outcome that people did not feel was reflected in this framework, there was an option for that. I won't read these, but I didn't want to include some data from our focus groups, which has, I think, shown that the work being done in strategic plans and community health assessments and community health improvement planning is really impacting the culture and being infused throughout the organizations as a whole in a really positive way. So the accreditation support initiatives that I mentioned very briefly before are really all about putting small amounts of funding out to advance accreditation readiness. So those are within 1 year. They're kind of one-shot deals. We've done 4 years of funding through NACHO. That, of course, not surprisingly, focuses on local health departments. Through APHA, it's reached the state or regional affiliates, so your state or regional public health association. And then this year, I'm really pleased to note that we've put out funding to the National Indian Health Board that will reach tribal public health departments. So the NACHO CDC Accreditation Support Initiative to date has put out $3.7 million and 78 awards. We're about to announce, or rather, NACHO is about to announce the round for this year, so that will of course go up a little when we have the hopefully I think 10 additional awards announced for this year. It's wherever again that needle needs to be moved, and so some health departments have used this to pay part of their FAB fees. Others have done this to advance quality improvement, health improvement planning, workforce development. That has really cut across a variety of domains. And this map is on the NACHO website. So if you actually want to go on the NACHO website, they have a really, I think, nice website that highlights and you can use to see what the accomplishments and as well as some of the tools from all of those different ASI sites. The CDC APHA Accreditation Support Initiative has been about putting out a very small, really what has been less than $10,000 to grantees to really advance accreditation readiness in ways that the affiliates have an opportunity to do so. What I really like about this is this has also helped to advance the dialogue in states where there hasn't often been as much accreditation momentum. So this has been, I think, a really nice way of building the dialogue in a variety of states in reaching tribes or in building webinars and educational opportunities. So in my last moment, I want to just talk briefly about another aspect of what we're doing at CDC, which is trying to build the connection with programmatic and the categorical and strategic investments, making sure that this makes sense for what we're all doing in public health when you think of public health as often a combination of many silos. We have incorporated FAB, mention of FAB and language about accreditation into our standard FOA template, our funding opportunity announcements that go out to all domestic, non-research organizations. We now have a standard template that's used for that. There's a fact sheet available on this website up there. It's our accreditation website for OSTILTS. And to date, 58 FOAs in FY13 and FY14 have included this language. I will say we've gone through all the FOAs. This is virtually all the FOAs it should have gone into. So it's not being taken out. This is being included in both the organizational capacity statement area, where applicants are encouraged to describe their current status applying for accreditation, or of course if they're already accredited. And it mentions FAB specifically, so that's really what we're talking about. And then probably even more importantly, in the budget narrative guidance section, where applicants can, if it's consistent with the statutory authority and the spirit of that FOA, really be seeking to use those funds and requesting to use those funds in ways that mesh with the FOA purpose, but also help to fill gaps in meeting those standards. So really we're talking about leveraging our investments in ways that make sense. We've been also trying to build connections with the expectations in different programmatic areas. And as one final point, I will also note the first bullet up there, the Public Health and Health Services Block Grant, is a fairly flexible funding mechanism, of course. It's now supported out of OSTILTS, the office I represent, and the funding for that, it can be determined by the grantees. It's really quite flexible, but we've put out some considerations for guidance that really we hope will prompt health departments and grantees to realize that building infrastructure and using that to support accreditation standards and foundational capabilities is an opportunity, as well as, of course, the many different program areas that that health department may be using that for already. And that is really built around connections with Healthy People 2020 objectives and the public health infrastructure topic area, where there's an accreditation related objective as well as ones related to community health improvement planning and workforce development, et cetera, is actually the second highest area of investment for those block grant funds. So I realize I'm out of time, so I'm going to stop there and look forward to the discussion later on.